Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me today from the screen the sermon title for this morning? Wait till your Father comes home. Based on our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 64, listen to these verses. O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your coming, O Lord. You are our Father. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, our Father. Remember not our iniquity forever. I encourage all of you today to turn your worship folder over to the sermon outline as we follow our theme, Wait Till Your Father Comes Home. Well, I have a confession to make. Actually, Beverly and I have a confession to make. If any of you would come to our home on almost any Monday through Friday morning at 8 a.m., you would find us both laughing together, watching some old reruns of a TV program that ran from 1958 to 1963, and the title of that TV program was Leave It to Beaver. I didn't know Ewald was going to have the slide of little Theodore Cleaver on the screen this morning. It's a story of a family of four, Ward and June Cleaver, and their two boys, Wally and Theodore. But nobody calls the youngest boy Theodore. Everybody calls him Beaver. And although every episode has a different storyline, the plot is almost always the same. The boys have gotten themselves in yet another mess. And Mother discovers it. And how will they solve the problem? And they're just convinced that Father is not going to be happy when he gets home. So invariably, in every one of these episodes, either the mother or one of the boys says, just wait till Father comes home. But of course, since it's a 1950s and 60s sitcom, everything always comes out all right in the end. Wait till your father comes home. How many of you ever remember hearing those words when you were growing up? I see some hands. Wait till your father comes home. Maybe some of our young people are still hearing these words today. Just wait till your father comes home. What images do these words bring to your mind? What events in your life, perhaps, do these words bring to your mind? We're now in the season of Advent. And the very word Advent means the coming. And as we know, the season of Advent has two focuses. First, the coming of our little Lord Jesus as a babe in the manger of Bethlehem. But especially and even more so, his second coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at the end of the world called Judgment Day. And very often, we only think of Advent in terms of the joys of Christmas. We can't wait for Christmas. We join Isaiah the prophet in 64 verse 1 when he says, O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down. We can't wait for Christmas. However, as we read the Holy Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they connect Advent always to Judgment Day. In 1 Thessalonians, this is what we read. For you know that that day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And also, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the trumpet of God. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 25, When I, the Son of Man, come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And the prophet Amos in the Old Testament had these words to say. Woe to you who desire that day of the Lord. Woe to you. It will be darkness and not light. It will be darkness and great darkness. And Isaiah says this. wail and moan and woe, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it will come as a day of destruction from the Almighty to lay the land desolate, and He will destroy all sinners within it. Advent means God is coming. A holy and almighty God is coming, and we are sinners. In today's sermon text, Isaiah says these words, "Behold, O Lord, You were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have lived a long time, and will any of us be saved?" Isaiah goes on to say that our so-called good deeds cannot prevent God's judgment. He says in verse 6 of today's text, "We have all become as one who is unclean. Our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." Some suggest that the polluted garments Isaiah is talking about here refer to women's monthly menstrual garments. These soiled garments made a person ritually unclean, so they couldn't come into the holy presence of God in the temple. Isaiah's comparison tells us that in such a way, our good deeds are like polluted garments. Our sin brings us destruction. And even our attempts at doing what is good is still filled with sin. In verse 6, Isaiah says, "We all will fade like a leaf, and all of our sins and iniquities will, like the wind, sweep us away." Are you enjoying Advent yet? Are you looking forward to the second coming? Oh, you just wait till your Father comes home. But hold it. This is only half of the story. This is what we Lutherans call the law. But what about the gospel, the good news? We can say, and we can believe, it's on your sermon outline, we can say, "Advent, God is coming, hooray!" God is just, and He must deal with sin. But the Bible also declares this loudly and clearly: God is also our loving Father. We can wait for His coming, as the children said, with joy. "Oh, I can't wait till my Father comes home." Listen to what Isaiah said in the text, verses 8 and 9. "But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the works of Your hands. Remember not, O Lord, our iniquity forever. Behold, we are Your people." God is our loving Father. We are the clay in His hands. We belong to Him. He personally created us as a potter makes a pot. We are precious to Him. He is our Father who loves us. And because of that, we are sorry for our sin. And we humbly go to our Father for forgiveness. And what is the assurance of our forgiveness? It is simply this: Advent announces the coming of our God in human flesh. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, listen to what we hear. John writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word is a title for Jesus. This single verse is John's entire commentary on Christmas. Luke has two chapters. Matthew has two. John simply says this: "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word of God, Jesus, became a human being and was born among us. We call this in theological language the incarnation. Incarnation means to become flesh. When you go to the store and buy a can of chili, often what it says on it is chili con carne, beans with meat. Christmas tells us the eternal Word of God means that Jesus, the eternal Word, became meat, became flesh, and He dwelt among us. This loving God in the flesh comes to us at Bethlehem's manger. Look inside that manger, won't you? Look inside that feed trough in that Bethlehem stable. What do you see there? It's not just a cute little baby boy. You see God in the flesh, and He's come for you. Look upon Calvary's cross. What do you see there? You see there not just a victim of unjust punishment. You see God in human flesh, who has come to pay the price for your sins and for the sins of the world. Look inside that empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. What do you see? He's not there. He's risen. He is God in the flesh, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the devil, and all that he did for you. When the end of the world comes and judgment day arrives, look on the clouds. Who's coming? It's God in the flesh. God in the flesh, Jesus our Lord, coming in glory to take you and all who have put their faith in Him to heaven. Who is it? He is God in the flesh, King of kings and Lord of lords. Just wait. Just wait. Till your Father comes home. Here's a story with which we'll end today's sermon. Story from my younger days. It was close to Christmas, like it is now. I was in early grade school. I probably was between 8 and 10 years old. I can't remember exactly. My parents were both out of the house. My older teenage sister was supposed to be supervising me, but since she was busy with her teenage friends, I could do whatever I wanted. Never a good idea. We had not yet set up the Christmas tree, and I really wanted some Christmas decorations in the house, and I had time on my hands. I had glue, paper, scissors, crayons. I was a very creative little boy. You can see where this is heading. So I drew and I colored and I cut out some amazing creations. A Christmas tree with lights, lots of wrapped presents, a baby Jesus in a manger, Santa Claus, and a lot more wrapped presents. And then after I had drawn them and colored them and cut them out, I did the only reasonable thing I could think of. I glued them to the living room wall, waiting for my parents to come home. My mother came home first. How many of you have met my mother? She may be 4'10", but that little Irish leprechaun packs a punch. Still, when I call her on the phone at 85, she'll say, "No matter how many people call you reverend or pastor or doctor, always remember, I'm your mother." Mother came home first. Mother said a number of things when she saw what I did on the wall. But the one thing I clearly remember her saying was this: "Just wait till your father comes home." I don't think it was to congratulate me on my wonderful creativity. But when Dad did come home, He completely surprised me. He laughed. I was there quaking in my boots, and Dad was laughing. And when Dad laughed, his belly just shook. You have to picture my dad. He stood 5'4", but weighed 230 pounds. When Dad shook, his belly shook. And oh boy, did I get a talking to, as they used to say. I did have to clean up everything I'd done. And let me remind you that paper glued to a wall doesn't easily come off without the wall having to be sanded and repainted again. But my father also forgave me, and he helped me make things right. Oh, wait till your father comes home. Indeed. Advent tells us that our Lord is coming back. Our Lord is coming, and the prophet declared, O Lord, that you would render the heavens and come down. He is coming as the babe in the manger, Bethlehem, and as the king at judgment day. He is holy and just and takes seriously our sin. But he's especially kind and merciful and forgiving to sinners. So it is only fitting that at the beginning of Advent, we together pray the final prayer in the entire scripture in Revelation 22, verse 20, that says, Come, Lord Jesus, come. With joy, we can say, I can't wait till my Father, till my Lord comes home to take me to be with Him forever. In the name of Jesus, blessed Advent. Amen.